One Percenter Podcast with Sam Bakhtiar, bringing you the 1% knowledge to help you reach your full potential. Learn what it takes to rise above the 99% and become a 1%er.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Sam Bakhtiar, with the 1%er Podcast, and I have a very special guest. Anthony Delgado is in the house, man. What's happening, brother?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Man, thank you for coming all the way, man. You coming from New York?
Well, all the way from Puerto Rico.
Oh, you're in Puerto Rico right now, right? You're all the way from Puerto Rico to be on the podcast, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having
me. So tell me, what do you do in Puerto Rico?
So we run an entrepreneurial community in Puerto Rico called Disrupt Puerto Rico. And the way it started, I guess just to backtrack a little bit, I've been a software developer, serial entrepreneur, and digital marketer for the last 10 years. And when Hurricane Maria struck the island of Puerto Rico, I found a problem that was bigger than myself. More than 50% of the island didn't have power for close to 6 months. It's one of the biggest blackouts in American history. And me and a buddy of mine, we sent some pallets of water over. And really, all of New York and all the New Yorkans and from California to the East Coast, West Coast, we all came together and we donated supplies down there. And then we saw that the supplies weren't getting where they needed to go. So me and a good friend of mine, Hugo Sanchez, we partnered up with a nonprofit called Powerful Puerto Rico, and we took it upon ourselves to go to Puerto Rico and give away 300 solar panel lights. And we went door to door, just knocking on people's doors and making the biggest impact that we could. And one of the things that we realized was I was giving people like one case of water. It's enough water for like maybe a week, a few days. I want people to have water for the rest of their lives. And we feel like the way to do that is through technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship. First question that I had when I went to Puerto Rico was like, is there Wi-Fi? Because if there's Wi-Fi, I know that I can make money. Like all I need to succeed is
Wi-Fi. All you need is your Wi-Fi and a laptop, right?
Uh-huh.
So I have a question for you. This pops in my mind, man. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of disasters that happened, you know, Hurricane Katrina, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Why Puerto Rico? Why was Puerto Rico so important? Are you Puerto Rican?
Yes.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah,
right?
That explains it.
Because yeah. It's your homeland, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So you wanted to go, you know, help the people there and people you know and all that kind of stuff, which is very noble. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know why Puerto Rico was so important. So you are a Puerto Rican that are living in New York, so now you're back in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so born and raised in New York. And I used to go as a kid, my grandfather took it upon himself to make sure that we visited the island. And then he passed away. And when he passed away, I was only 12 years old, 12 or 13. And I lost touch for almost 20 years. And I have like some cousins over there, but it's like distant family. And then I took it as like a call to action. And I looked at some of the great leaders of our time. I looked at people like Gandhi. I looked at people like Martin Luther King. And these people, they weren't elected. No one gave them permission to start the movements that they started.
They just did themselves.
They just did it themselves.
Their heart, their passion, you know, and things like that. What do you see the biggest problem is in Puerto Rico? Why is Puerto Rico, you know, a redheaded stepchild right now? And it's always been. Why would you say that?
Well, there's a lot of things that I guess contribute to it. A lot of people don't realize this, but Puerto Rico, if you look at it as a state, compared to any other 50 states, highest percentage of college educated people. So everyone's going to college.
I had no idea.
The problem is college doesn't even work here. So it's really not working there. Yeah. And we feel that entrepreneurship is the way to really transform the economy. You know, my ancestors, my grandparents, they had to go from Puerto Rico to New York City to chase opportunity. That's not the case anymore. You don't have to leave where you're from. As long as you have Wi-Fi, as long as you have internet, you have the ability to compete on a global scale and be part of the global economy.
Got it. So that's what you're doing now with Puerto Rico. You're showing the entrepreneur side. You support. And before I get to that really quick, you said college doesn't work. You know, in here, sure as hell it's not going to work in Puerto Rico. Why doesn't college work?
So
I'm curious to see your insight on it.
So college teaches you that failure is bad, right? When you go and you do a report, right? Like this always used to happen to me. I would do a report and it would be like, do a report on George Washington. Mm-hmm. And then I would do a report on like why Clear Channel controls the media. Mm-hmm. And why George Washington never would have liked this. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I would get a C or an F on that report because I was thinking outside the box of doing something different, right? So college and traditional education, they do not reward you for thinking differently. But in the real world, in business, as you know, thinking differently is your competitive edge. Apple succeeded because they thought differently. When Apple came out with the iPhone, every other phone had buttons on it. But they said, no, we're going to think differently. Now, if they were getting a report card, they would have got an F on that report card. So college really conditions you to think like everyone else, and in business and in life, that's not an advantage.
I would 100% agree with you. I'm so glad I asked that question, because you definitely gave me a different perspective, you know, but I 100% agree with you on that. You know, if you want to be something special, then you have to be something special, not just be like another order taker, another person that just does whatever everybody else does. You know, that's what 1% is. That's what my 1% brand is. 1% brand is, look at what everybody else is doing and do the opposite. Warren Buffett said that. He said, if you want to be successful, look at what everybody else is doing and go the other way.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's nothing, you know, I'm very proud of you, you know, going to what you're doing for Puerto Rico and what you're doing for people over there. And tell me about your Disrupt Puerto Rico event coming up.
So we host a huge event in Puerto Rico. It's really like the South by Southwest or the 10X of the Caribbean. And we bring in some of the top entrepreneurs from all around the world. So you're going to be speaking.
And so you know what?
Super humbled and honored that you're going
to
be there.
Same, you know, it's a privilege for me to be there. Thank you for having me.
And we also have top entrepreneurs like Jason Capital. Last year we had Gerard Adams. John Malott is going to be down there this year. Casey Adams. Jeremy Haynes, and a bunch of incredible, like 50 plus speakers from all different walks of life. We have Punch. Punch just freaking agreed to come down and share his perspective on the entertainment industry. And it's really just, it's a movement to show the young people of Puerto Rico that they can be successful and that they don't have to think inside the box. There's a really big employee mindset in Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of
the whole Spanish culture, I believe, you know.
Yeah,
the whole
it's traditional.
Culture, yeah, traditional. You know, go get a 9-to-5, get your benefits, retire 65, and die. Right. That's how it's been brought up in you know more of the you know the third world countries, including my own country.
Yeah.
You know, including Middle East. You know, Middle East, like you know, if you're a doctor, like you made it. You know, and I'm like, I couldn't fathom, you know, wearing a suit all the time or jacket, going reporting, being in the hospital all day. You know, I couldn't be able to do that. You know, I like to be like this. You know, I used to think that you putting on a suit, going to work, dressing sharp every day, that was success. You know, and now I'm like, you know what? I dress whatever I want, however I want. I don't have to impress anybody. And to me, that's the biggest success. And, you know, we see eye to eye on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It reminds me, there's a friend of mine who's a multimillionaire from cryptocurrency, and he's Indian, so he comes from that traditional Indian background. And when he got started, he was going to school to be a doctor, and then in the middle of it, he's like, this is not for me, and he left and he went to Wall Street, and then from Wall Street he went to crypto. And he becomes a millionaire, and he goes to his father, and he's like, Father, I have exciting news to share with you. I'm now a millionaire. I've broken seven figures. And he said, that's nice, son. It's still not too late to be a doctor. Because in their mind, in their culture, it's not even money and success. They want you to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah, it's the prestigious thing. You know, it's the, my mom always said the same thing. You know, that's why I became a doctor. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, I became a doctor for my mom. I gave my diploma to my mom and said, now go call all your friends and brag that your son's a doctor. Now can I go open up my gyms and go work out? Can I do that now, you know? And even to this day, man, they're like, oh, you're a doctor. I didn't know that. I said, yeah, I'm a doctor. I just don't, you know, yeah. I don't brag about it. I got my doctor degree. It's right there in the office. So how did this event, you know, come about? How did it even come out? How did you come up with it? You know, tell me what was the thought process of putting on an event, and how many people usually come to this event?
So the event that we threw last year, we had over 600 people that attended. I think it's pretty good for our first.
That is amazing.
And it's a mixture between people from Puerto Rico and people from the United States and all around the world. So for each person that buys a ticket from the United States, we donate a ticket to someone in Puerto Rico so that they can come and attend the event and they're able to go. And you know, the whole idea, the concept is really based on South by Southwest, which is a famous festival in Austin, Texas. And that festival, it mixes music with tech and business and entrepreneurship. And it's this big week-long festival. And that festival created the tech ecosystem in Austin, Texas. So now Austin, Texas is like maybe number 3 or 4 in the country of places if you're an entrepreneur and want to start a company. So we feel like this event can do the same thing for Puerto Rico. And we also want to shed light on all the tax benefits down in Puerto Rico. So a lot of people don't know, if you move your company down to Puerto Rico, you can enjoy 4% corporate tax and 0% capital gains as an individual.
hey man, you know, you actually give me some thoughts right now. You know, and I've been to Puerto Rico, you know, I've been, you know, I stayed at Dorado Beach at the Ritz.
Yes.
Over there, and what a beautiful property, man. I mean, it was just amazing. I believe there's like two Ritz-Carlton reserves in the world, and one of them is in Puerto Rico, and the other one is in Thailand. And I went to this property, man, I'm like, man. You know, and then I inquired about buying something there, and I was like, I didn't know it was that expensive because it's so beautiful. But what it really got me, it was $1 a square foot for just HOAs. So even if you buy a house of $5 million and it's 5,000 square feet, you still have a $5,000 a month bill just for maintenance of everything. And I was like, wow, that's you know, for not being there all year round, man, that might be a bad investment. You
know? Dorado. I know what you're talking about. It's very expensive.
Oh my god, yeah. So actually, when I'm coming to your event, I'm staying there. So okay, I'm gonna commute back and forth. You know, my wifey and my mother-in-law's gonna come in, and we're gonna be able to go there. So tell me, growing up. You know, growing up, from you growing up, how did this entrepreneur bug got into you? You know, because you were growing up in a Hispanic culture, mm-hmm. go get a job, get a 9-to-5, get some benefits. But you said, you know, you've been a serial entrepreneur 10, 12 years ago, you started being a serial entrepreneur. How did that come about, and how did your family react to it?
So I learned everything the hard way.
Me too. I paid a price for everything.
I grew up, and I think I always had entrepreneurship like in my DNA. So like I had an lemonade stand. I sold cars. I sold candy.
You hustled.
I hustled. We did a car wash. I remember 1 year at school there was a car wash, and they did it for 1 day to raise some money. And after they raised the money for the 1 day, they're like, okay, we're done. No more car wash. And I was like, what do you mean no more car wash? We just made money. So every single day for the rest of the summer, I was out there with a sign and a football jersey doing my own car wash. And again, that was just instincts. No one told me to do that. I'm sure my mother probably wasn't even happy if she knew I was doing
it. Hey, Anthony, I'm going to say this with all due respect, man. You know, you messed up. You being with a sign with a car wash will not entice me to wash. You to get a girl paid like $5-$10 an hour, you know, in a bikini or something like car wash, I would have pulled in, you know what I mean? So just a little marketing lesson, man. You're a rookie though, you know better now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me how it evolved.
And then it evolved. I mean, it evolved in some ways that probably were not beneficial to me. So like, then I started like selling weed. When I was in cigarettes.
That's hustle 101, that's street hustle. That's street hustle. You started selling weed before it was legal.
Yep, before it was legal. Now it's the cool thing. It's CBD business, it's on the stock exchange. And, yeah, but I was definitely ahead of my time, right? And I actually wrote a dissertation.
You got a little 50 cent hustle going.
Yeah, for sure. Like, get rich or die trying. And there's actually, when I was about 18 or 19, I watched his movie, which was almost like an autobiography. And he said that the average drug dealer makes less than minimum wage when you calculate the time in jail and you calculate the fact that they're re-ing up, they're making less than $5 an hour. And when I realized that, it's like, it looks so glorious, but when you realize that most drug dealers, like some of them obviously at the top are making money, but most drug dealers are not making any money. I realized by the age of about 19 that, you know what, this really, really was not for me. I could sell other things. So I started selling stuff online. I was selling stuff on eBay and Amazon, and selling clothes, sneakers, CDs. I actually used to sell 50 cent CDs before he had an album.
The bootleg was off the street.
Yep. But I started making. So here's a good lesson about
50, don't, you know, you're not listening to this, are you?
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't
sue me. He's going to come back. We got Pancho talk to him.
But here's a good lesson about the digital economy. So I was selling CDs in the high school. Right, so I'm going, I'm making like $50 a week or whatever. And then I went on Amazon and eBay and I started selling them. In the first week I went online, I went from making $50 a week to $3,000 a day. And that was a huge breakthrough for me, because instead of selling CDs just to the kids in my city, I was selling CDs to people all around the world. I had people in France and Australia and London.
How did that make you feel?
I felt
You started making, you know, from $50 a week to $3,000 a day. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A day. So that's a huge jump. So how would that make you feel? I mean, like, all of a sudden, like, holy shit. I didn't know I could make this kind of money. Like, what was your thought process?
I felt like I was playing life with the cheat codes on. I felt like I found a cheat code. You know, like, you're playing a video game and it's so hard. It's like, oh, I just got to do A, A, B, left, right, and then boom, and I unlocked it, right? And then, you know, I had a jaded view towards education because I was like, well, my teachers aren't teaching me this. I just made more in a week or two than my teachers are making in a whole year. And then I started realizing that maybe my role models needed to shift. Maybe my role models needed to change. Cameron had a song at that same time, and he said, you know, why am I going to go to college and be $100,000 in debt and get out and make $30,000 a year? How the fuck am I supposed to go to Miami 3 times a year and drive Ferraris and Lamborghinis doing that dumb shit? And I remember that song coming on that was like the intro to a song and just playing that on repeat and that going through my mind. And, you know, again, is Cameron the best role model? No. Should I, like, wear pink minks?
No, but you learn a lot about, you know, different things. You know what I mean? You learn a lot of different things. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember interviewing Randall Pitch right here.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. He said when he pulled up, you know, to his teachers, you know, he was parking the car. He was like, he was over school, and he pulled up his car and he figured out, oh my God, I drive better than all my, you know, my car's better than all my teachers.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, maybe, you know, I need to stop this and, you know, pursue my passion. You know what I mean? There's no right or wrong way. It's what's wrong, what works for that person. But I was talking to Dean Graziosi the other day,
yeah.
You know, and he mentioned that, and it's so true. You know, college was made in the industrial days, where they wanted you to just do a certain job a certain way and be a robot, right? We're not in the industrial age no more. We're in the information age.
Yeah.
So right now, all you have to be able to do is gather information. And guess where the information is? Online.
Well, and that's the other big problem with the educational system. You're not learning from doers. You're learning theories from people who have most likely not ran their own businesses, have not really done the things that they're teaching you to do. As opposed to, like Dean Graziosi teaches, learning from experts, learning music from someone who's in the music industry, learning business from someone who's actually ran multiple successful businesses.
You know, there's a saying, they say, people who can do and people who can't teach.
Yeah, people that can do teach, right?
and that's, you know what I mean? That's, you know what I mean? If you teach business, they never own the business. You know what I mean? What good is that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that I'm a big believer in is in emerging with education, right? So if I want to learn how to start a fitness empire, or if I want to learn how to be a mogul in the music industry, or if I want to learn how to create a Shopify or an e-commerce store and make millions of dollars in that, why am I learning history? Why is my day broken up between an hour of history, an hour of math, an hour of business, an hour of political science? That's not how you learn. That's not how you become an expert. That's how you become a generalist. And as you know, generalists are not successful. It's the people that are hyper-focused, they have a niche, they're specialized, and they're the ones that can demand top dollar for their time and their business.
100%. I always use this analogy. You know, if, you know, let's just say if one of your relatives had, you know, heart issues, are you going to go to a doctor who's a cardiologist and is a physical therapist and is a
yoga instructor?
Yeah, exactly. You know when I know a gym is not doing good, when I drive by a gym and these days go yoga, Pilates, boot camp, personal training, bodybuilding, weight loss. I'm like, I know they're going to go out of business. Yeah. They're not hyper focused. They're just trying to get anybody who's just giving them any kind of money. You know, nobody respects a generalist. People respect somebody who is good at one thing. I don't know if you know, man, you know, I don't care, you know, you're from New York and whatever, the best burgers are In-N-Out burgers. Do you agree?
In-N-Out, yeah.
Okay, but some people from West Coast, I mean, East Coast, going, oh, well, $5.
No, we got the best pizza.
Oh yeah,
you guys got the best pizza. You guys have the burger.
You guys fight that out between you and Chicago. I ain't even getting that fight. I'm just representing West Coast right now. You know what I mean? But In-N-Out Burger is by far the best burger. I mean, I literally have gone to Vegas. There's a place that have $100 burger.
Wow.
Right, and that's Kobe beef, and there's this and that. And guess what? At $3 double double, it still crushes. You know what I mean? So I have had $100 burger, and it's, because what? In-N-Out just does one thing.
Yep.
They do burgers and do burgers at the best.
Yeah, right? They don't have a chicken sandwich, they don't have a salad.
They don't got no vegan burgers. Vegan option, not like that. You know, so you know what, if you're vegan, don't shoot me. Don't protest outside my house. I'm a meat eater and all that kind of stuff. You know, vegan people, I love you too, man. It's all good. I just gotta have my meat. So I don't know, man. So what are your future plans? I know, you know, I respect you tremendously. you know, I want to fly out to Puerto Rico, you know, for a week. Wait, you know what? Let's go back. A week. I've never seen an event that's a week. Why a week?
So we want people who maybe don't know about the Puerto Rico ecosystem to be able to learn everything about it. So we have lawyers that can teach you about taxes. We have accountants that can teach you about taxes and how to set up the business, how to incorporate it so you can take part in that. We have experts from all around the world. And then we have amazing after parties and events every single night. So it's learning in the daytime and then networking events in the evening. On the last day, we rent a boat and we go out to Culebra, which is a little Caribbean island.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah, I took a helicopter.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. that place is beautiful. That place is beautiful, man. Yeah. So yeah, I'm all in. You know, I told my wife, I'm going to Puerto Rico for an event. What, 2 days? No. A week, she was a week. a week.
So it's a good excuse for a vacation, right?
For sure. That's exactly what I'm doing.
And then what we do is these meetups that are all throughout the week, they're at different co-working spaces and different incubators and accelerators. And before you know it, over the course of the week, you know all the best night spots, you know all the best day spots, you know all the tech places, you know the ecosystem. And it's really a roadmap for people like myself who moved down there. I moved down there, I barely spoke the language. My Spanish was super, super rusty, I think is a overstatement. And I hadn't been there in 20 years. I was a child the last time I was there. So it's a roadmap for anyone who's thinking about moving.
You go back before we go to deposit.
To learn.
Oh, he's like a little white boy now. So I don't want the night spots. I'm gonna go out a couple of nights.
Yeah.
But a married man like me, man, all I wanna know is where to eat. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I want some Mallorcas, I want some Mofongo. Yeah. You got to give me a list.
Yeah, no. So that's part of it too. The experiences, they also involve food, and gastronomy. So one of the locations that I love, it's a rooftop bar and it has a pool. We do a pool party, and then there's also appetizers. It's it is called Mist Rooftop. It's a beautiful location, right on the ocean. It's amazing, and then we have massages for the speakers. So we're gonna go get all the speakers, have them get massages so they can relax and just be in a peak state. One of the other best restaurants is called Jose Enrique. So this is a cool story. Jose Enrique was a chef from Puerto Rico, moved to New York, and was an executive chef, top chef, in New York City, Manhattan for years. One of the things that he found was even at the most high-end restaurant, there was two limitations. Number one was ingredients. Even at the high-end restaurant where they have the most expensive steak, they want to use cheap salt. Or if they don't want to use cheap salt, they want to use cheap olive oil. Even at the high-end restaurants, they were skimping because they're a business, you're trying to make money. The second problem that he found was they were limited on being creative with the menu.
Yeah.
They want to make money. So they will keep a burger on the menu because they know people come in and order a burger. And so when he retired, he moved back to Puerto Rico and he decided, I'm gonna do a restaurant my way. No rules. So he uses all the best ingredients, the best salts, the best olive oils, the best meats. And then the menu is the most creative, delicious, amazing food that you've ever had. And they just opened a new location in Condado. So that is a place where we're gonna have dinner with me, you, your wife, and my girlfriend.
Oh man, I'm hungry too, man. So is anything that I haven't covered? Anything that you want everyone to know about Disrupt, about Anthony Delgado, what's your future plans, and is there anything that I can help you with coming in the future? Because you're somebody I highly respect. I think it's very noble of you, you know, going and doing what you're doing for Puerto Rico. And it just shows that you're at a whole level of fulfillment for you. You know, I always believe that in life it's hard to become fulfilled until you get your business right. You know, it's hard, you know, I always say you can't help somebody from drowning if you can't swim,
yeah.
Right? So obviously you've reached a certain level of success that you can take off and go help other people, yeah. You know, and that's so noble of you, you know. So what are the next steps?
So our big vision, the whole reason that we moved to Puerto Rico, started this movement, is we're building a physical school. So our next step is to build a physical school. It's called Disrupt University. And it's gonna be the most elite school in the entire world. Like, this is the school that millionaires and billionaires are gonna send their children to Puerto Rico to learn. because we're going to provide disruptive education. All the problems that we spoke about earlier in the educational system, where they're not teaching you by doers, they're not teaching you real skills, they're teaching you curriculum that's 100 years old, right? We're gonna fix that. We're gonna have specialized courses that teach marketing, that teach business, that teach tech, that teach the skills that are needed for you to thrive in the new economy.
Yeah, yes. For today's economy. Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yes.
That, I'm excited. You know, that's done. My son, my daughters are coming.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, thank you for being on, brother.
Sam, thank you so much for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.